Rashi's on Perek Perek Yud Aleph, Pasik Yud Gimel. Okay, we're up to Pasik Yud Gimel. I believe so. On Meir's here also. What? Page 822, 824. The Rashi, one Rashi. Yeah, that's what we're up to. We're in the middle of the Rashi. We discussed yesterday Yihyeh Bigmatria. The last Rashi did was Yihyeh Bigmatria 30. There are 30 tzaddikim. We're up to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Hashem says to Zechariah, take the 30 shkolim, take the 30 coins that you have received for your wages to shepherd the animals and deposit the money in the Beis HaOitzer. Let's review it. Pasuk Gimel Vayim Hashem Elai Hashlichel LeHaYotzer Kamo El HaOitzer. Okay, the word HaYotzer in this context means the Oitzer. This is exactly what the Mitzvah stuff it said. It means the storehouse, and then referring here to the Beis HaMikdash. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeNavi, Hashem says to the Navi to Zechariah, V'soiv, write, V'hanachas Elohim, V'tzidkos Sam L'Yosham L'Sav Shiv M'Shana. Take these people, these individuals, Rashi said the 30 Shkolim represents the 30 Tzaddikim. He said that really in total there are 45.
I don't know if they can hear you out there, but feels like you're whispering in here.
Okay, I'm going to have to get the microphone then. You can't hear me? All right, because I'm not doing anything different.
Take a drink. You have to clear your throat.
All right, we're going to have to put the microphone eventually. I'll try to speak a little louder. You're having a hard time hearing me over here. All right. In any event, Hashem says, according to Rashi, the Berim Chol, according to Rashi,
that's better. I hope you're not straining yourself.
What is that? Food? I don't want you to do this. It's not necessary.
Later.
No, I can't. Thank you very much. We'll talk later. Okay, so according to Rashi, it says there are 45 tzaddik. There are a total of 45. There are 30 silver coins and 30 tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael, and there are 15 in Bavel. And here we are focusing on the 30 of Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi, he listed, now even the list Rashi gave us was mostly a list from people that live in Bavel. Rashi enumerated a list of tzaddikim, and here Hashem is telling him, go take these tzaddikim, this money, put it in the Beis HaOitzer. What does that mean according to Rashi? Write down their names and put them away for safekeeping. V'hanach ha'selu, now on page 224 in Rashi, v'hanach ha'selu heim v'tzidkosim. Write down the names of these people and their righteousness. Liyoy shamur l'soiv shiv m'shana shol golos bavel v'yibone beis hamikdash al yideihem. And in their merit, the beis hamikdash will be rebuilt. Umahu hayoitzer. What is the yoitzer? Now we have these very difficult words. It's called the eder hayikar. Eder means splendor. Hayikar means honor. These are really two words which mean exactly the same thing, and it means an object of honor. Beis Mikdoshi, the Beis HaMikdash, my holy place, Eder Tifarti, the splendor of my splendor. Two words which pretty much mean the same thing. We're putting them together. It's a play. It's an expression.
Eder is smichus, right?
Eder means glory. It means
it's not like Adir.
Right, Adir means mighty. Mighty in the Mitzudah Sion. Look at the Mitzudah Sion. Eder inyan mo'oiz v'choizek. It means might and power. Okay, kegoyin legefen adores, a vine, a mighty, powerful vine. So the word eder means might, power, which is usually referring to a glorious might and power.
So it's the noun form of adir.
Correct. And then the word yokar, hayukar, means precious, which also represents something which is glorious. So it's a combination of two words, which each word, the two words mean the same thing almost. It means my place, my glorious location, my glorious bayis, the Beis HaMikdash. He writes over here, hanachas elu, eder hayukar, Beis Mikdashi, eder tifarti, snusachacher tifartom, their splendor, the splendor of Klal Yisrael, Asher Yokarti Me'alehem, Asher His Bat, Asher Hif, Shatiti Me'alehem, Yos Lachem Likar. Now, what does that mean? V'loshon Yokarti, let's read a little bit further. V'loshon Yokarti, Hu Hasaras Kavoid. The word Yokarti, according to Rashi, means the removal. Remember, when we learned the Mitzvah Stavit, he told us the word Yokarti means I've weighed down upon them. it's heavy. Yakar, in addition to it meaning glory and beauty and splendor, it also means something weighs, which is heavy. And we didn't really have clarity in what the mitzvah stuff was trying to say, but the Beis HaMikdash, it is a glorious building. There's a glorious location in this world which Hashem has put upon us. He has entrusted us. I'm assuming that what the mitzvah stuff it means, by saying kichbadati, it means Hashem has charged us. He has given us a mission. He has given us responsibility. Okay, maybe that's a better word. Giving us responsibility to care for this location and to utilize it in a good and precious, good way. Hichbadati, it's your responsibility. Do not take it lightly. It's a heavy yoke. There is a lot of responsibility that comes along with having a Beis HaMikdash. That is what the Mitzudos David said. It appears that Rashi disagrees. Rashi says, Yakarti means I took it away from you. That for these last 70 years, you have been denied to have a Beis HaMikdash, and now I'm restoring the Beis HaMikdash in the merit of the 30/45 tzaddikim.
So according to Rashi, this is one of your words that flips both ways?
Which one?
Because if Yakarti,
okay,
is removal of kavod,
right.
Kar is kavod, so it's one of
One of those words, which depending on how it's vowelized, it can be used both ways. Either it's the giving of honor, or it is the removal of honor, depending on how it's vowelized. Let's see again the words inside. I'll show you Yakarti
Me'alehem. From them.
The men. It's really right. It's not the word Yakar. Rav Kalman is saying it's not the word Yakar, it's the men. The men is what's really the next word is what's changing the meaning of the word. The Me'alehem is saying that this Yakar is now being taken away from them, or in the past tense. This Mokoim, this glorious Beis HaMikdash, which was entrusted to them, is now being removed from them. Asher hifshatati Me'alehem mihiyois lohem likar. Uloshon Yakarti hu hasoras kova. Here it means the removal. The Hamem shall Me'alehem yochiach. The Mem over here is a calmness thing. It's coming to explain this point. V'hukamo v'she resh cha. May Eretz Chaim, I will uproot you. Okay, the word ashoyresh is a root. Here it's spelled v'shei resh cha, and the mem of the next word, may Eretz, means I will uproot you from the land of the living. Likewise, here the Beis HaMikdash is the place of honor, and the mem in the next word, may Aleichem, is telling you that I have taken away from you. Kumo misoef pura. This was the haftorah of Leah Shabbos, okay, oid. What's how does it start the after parasha? Acharon shel Pesach is oid yo oid. You know, I already forgot.
Oid hayom benov.
Oid hayom benov. Misoef pura b'ma'arotza. Okay, it will be removed. It will be removed the glory through a I think a maratza means an object of destruction. Okay, so whatever the words over here mean the half sorry, that was the mamash's peir shabbos misoif pura b'maratza. The dugma saperush shapirashti me'ein targum shel yonison huvrisi like what he's saying over here comes from targum yonison. So according to Rashi, Raj is explaining that in the merit of the 30 tzaddikim that they're really Rashi says there are 45 tzaddikim. 45 stick, which are divided into two parts, 30 and 15. In the merit of these 45 tzaddikim, the bayis shlishi, in this case, the bayis sheni will be rebuilt, and Hashem is instructing Zechariah to write down their names. It's interesting. He wrote kisoy v'hanach. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says Hashem said to the navi, write. I want you to write it down, and I want you to put away these names for safekeeping later on. People should acknowledge the reason why the Baishan will be built was in the merit of these great tzaddikim. And what are we going to rebuild? We're giving the Beis HaMikdash a new term. If you were to collect, we once had this discussion, it's too bad I never wrote all these things down, but we once had a discussion, different titles that are found in Tanakh to refer to the Beis HaMikdash. If we were to go through Tanakh very, very carefully and look at the Mefarshim, we would come up with a very, very large list of terms that are used in Tanakh to describe the Beis HaMikdash. If you want to go back to Chumash, the first thing it says, it's a Mishkan, and then it's called a Mikdash. And there are many terms. But here we have a new term. Here we add to the list this thing called the Eder HaYikar, another expression describing the Beis HaMikdash. And obviously, each expression captures a different dimension, a different nuance. We have to make a list of all the different expressions in Tanakh that describe the Beis HaMikdash. And obviously, each expression captures a different nuance, different dimension of what is the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. And here it says that according to Rashi, I'm going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash in the merit of these tzaddikim. And the Beis HaMikdash is something which asher yokarti me'aleihem, which I have removed. I have taken away from you because of your sins for these 70 years. Now it will return. Now maybe according to, I'm not really sure what Rashi means, or the word yokarti means remove, but it seems maybe the word yokar, in this context, like the play on the words, means it's something which is heavy. So something which is heavy cannot be lifted. It's set in place. It's a permanent structure. Hashem says, not in this case. If I do not want you to enjoy the benefits of the Beis HaMikdash, don't think that the Beis HaMikdash is so heavy. It's permanent that it cannot be removed. I removed it. I took this massive structure, which was heavy, which weighs many, many tons, and I removed it. I lifted the weight, this massive object, which is very strong and large, has been removed from you. You no longer enjoy the benefit of the Beis HaMikdash. But now, I'm going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash in the merit of these 30 tzaddikim. Okay, let's go further. The dogma sa perish of Rashi main targum shall Jonas and Hoover is the Lashonas Harbel perish in the Wuzu be any yochel lechavinon. Rashi says, as Rashi said in the beginning of the Sefer, that this is very esoteric. It's a very esoteric Sefer. Every single pasuk in the Sefer requires an enormous amount of work. And Rashi acknowledges he's seen many different interpretations of this pasuk, and he does not like them. He does not approve of what he has seen. He says the best perish is the targum. And what he's writing over here is basically saying is being drawn from the Targum. We'll get back to the Targum a little bit later. Probably then the Radak will go through it in a little more detail. Okay, so this, so far, we've gone through two rounds. We've gone to the Mitzudos, and we've gone to Rashi. The Mitzudos and Rashi are pretty much similar. There's a similar approach between the two. Let's now look at the Radak. Back to the previous page, page 8, on page 823, we begin with Pasuk Yud Beis. 823, if you remember, the Radak, he learned these psukim were not in reference to the Bayis Rishon. The Radak learned that these psukim were in reference to, pretty much, to the Chashmonoim. The entire theme of this entire parak was the Chashmonoim. And let's see how he's going to continue that theme here. Voimar Aleihem, Devar Hashem Husham Aleihem Ayideh HaNeviim. The following message was delivered. Havu Sechori, Hashem is coming to demand. Hashem is making a demand. I want you to pay my wages. Hashem says, you owe me money. It's time now to pay up. Give me my wages. Kevin Shani Royeschem Havu Sechori Vehasachar Hu HaTeshuva U'Maasim Tovim. So far, the same as Rashi and the Mitzudos, the payment will be in the form of doing mitzvahs, Torah mitzvahs. V'imlo, and if not, then Cho Chadalu, desist. Leave. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Kemosh Amar Yecheskel. We have the same exact quotation in Rashi. V'im im yishmu'u, v'im yechdalu. Make a choice. You have to make a decision. You want to be part of the team? Then you have to pay membership dues. If you do not want to be part of the team, then leave. V'yishkelu es sechodi shloshim kosef. So Klal Yisrael, they obeyed, and they delivered 30 silver coins. According to Rashi and the Mitzudos, that meant they produced tzaddikim. The generation, we discussed, yes, it's an amazing thing. Even though the individuals, not every individual makes it to the major leagues and becomes a tzaddik and is fully observant and sincere. But the fact that you create an environment, you hope that at least one person will come from that environment. How many times do you hear people say that they made a yeshiva? I told you this many times in Chaim Berlin. When I was in high school, there was a program for Iranians. There was a time when many Iranians escaped from Iran and they came to America, and they had a lot of trouble, absorbing into the Jewish community, and people were scratching their heads what to do. And in Chaim Berlin, obviously someone they invested, I don't know the whole story, but they invested an enormous amount of money to create a program alongside the regular program for the Iranians to, you know, they should bring them up to speed. And I remember Rabbi Stiegel, he told us in 12th grade that the program was not a success. It was not a success. It was a lot of trouble. It was a very difficult, a lot of problems. But there was one guy, there was one Iranian who came from nothing. He came from absolutely nothing. And today he's a very, very big person. And he said it was worth it just for that one person.
I think Neri Yisrael also had a program that might have been more successful. Yeah,
the Meitzes Gedolei HaTorah decided that they had to save the Iranian boys, but they couldn't without giving them a financial or a basis here, because there was not enough stimulus for them to leave unless they would have some basis here, especially if they were done without the family.
Yeah, I don't know the details, but it was a problem. It's always a problem. Money is always the problem. And but he said that this, for this one boy, the whole program with all of the Agmas Nefesh was worth it for this one boy. Because this one boy, where would he be today if not for this program? So that's who, the whole Klal Yisrael is like that. The whole Klal Yisrael, we set up institutions, this, that, and how many of us really, really achieve what the program is meant to achieve? Very, very few. But the fact that there is such a program in Klal Yisrael, of having a system, of a whole network and a system, it does produce 30 tzaddikim or 45 tzaddikim. It does, and that makes the entire thing worth it. The fact that this Chazal tells that every generation there are 45 tzaddikim or 30 tzaddikim, which and whose merit, their merit is put away for safekeeping, in order to draw from that to build the Bayis Shlishi. So the whole system, the whole network, it's worth it. I know a rabbi. He told me not long ago that he started a shul in a certain neighborhood, and every single day he could not get a minyan. Every day they went out to the street to go find a 10th person, a 9th person, an 8th person. It was such a struggle. So he many times in his work, he said, "That's it. It's over. I quit. I had enough of this." So he had an uncle that was a very holy person that really encouraged him to make this shul in this remote location. And the truth is, it wasn't really such a remote location. There were plenty of other shuls. That's not really true. There were plenty of other shuls, and his shul, whatever, it was a certain niche. And he went to his uncle and he told his uncle, "You know, you encouraged me to do this, and I'm telling you, I quit. It's just not worth it. I can't, the struggle is just, it's just not worth it. Every day to go schnorr another person." So his uncle said to him, "Don't quit. You don't understand. Your shul, there are people who feel comfortable there, who are getting something from what you're doing that they will not get elsewhere. You're right. If you're going to shut down, so all of these people, where are they going? They're going to go to another shul, another shir, go here, go there. Okay, they'll have something. But what they're getting by you, for them, every person is unique. Every person has their, you know, their sensitivities. They are deriving a unique satisfaction from the service that you are providing that they would not get elsewhere. And that makes it worth it. Don't just throw in the towel so quickly. Don't feel that if I will shut down, then everyone in my institution will go elsewhere and no harm done." That's not true. Every institution, every situation, every shul, every base medrash, every type of situation in life is unique. And the fact that people gravitate to your institution, your synagogue, your this, your that, is an indication that there's something about what you're doing that gives them satisfaction that they're not getting elsewhere. And that's precious. That's very precious. Don't make light of it. And really, that's what this Maamar Chazal is telling us, is that, that in Klal Yisrael, what would be so bad if we would shut down all the shuls? Shut them all down. There'll be a lot less fighting, a lot less Lashon Hara, a lot less problems, a lot less people to collect money. But when you have something, when you have a lot going on, it produces something very special. And that what is special is integral and is necessary for the ultimate goal of whatever that goal is. We have a whole Klal Yisrael today in operation. You have thousands of shuls, hundreds of communities, hundreds if not thousands of yeshivas all over the world. All for what? Most of the people, most of everything that goes on is a failure. It's not a success. True, but from the fact that there is so much, it produces at least 30 tzaddikim. And those 30 tzaddikim, whatever the reason is the seed for Geula, for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So it's worth it all. Nor is the 1,000 Talmidim come into the Beis Medrash, only one is Yotze Lehoira. From 1,000 students who learn Torah, only one of them, can you expect, will be eligible to render a halachic decision. Lasuke Shmaitza Aliba Dehilchasa. So you need it, but you need 1,000 students. Why don't you just find that one student who has that potential and take him and work with him and train him, and the other 999, you say to them, you're wasting your time. Go get a job. Get out of here. Go somewhere else. Just give them exams and see which of the 1,000 students, the potential students, has the ability, has the potential to reach this high exalted level, and just take him and work with him. And everyone else, geig isn't a hate. Doesn't work like that. The only reason why this one that was Yotze Lehoira is because he has 999 friends, which he draws from and serve as an inspiration for him to utilize his potential to be that one special person. So the 999, without them realizing it, is a foundation for that one student that is critical to Klal Yisrael. And that's what it is.
It's
the friendship. It's the whole network which allows itself to produce one special person. Let's go further in the Radak.
I have a point here. Going back to Avraham Avinu when he was talking about Sdom, are we talking about the tzaddikim here? What kind of tzaddikim were
okay
talking about? So Avraham Avinu had a point when he says, before he says, Ulay yesh hamishim tzaddikim, and then he says, Ulay yachserun hamishim hatzaddikim hamisha. What is that yachserun? I saw it in Ma'am Loez, I think it was, and he says, Ulay yesh chisaron b'chamishim hatzaddikim. We're not talking about tzaddikim perfect. Nobody is perfect. Ulay yach chisaron b'hem chamisha. So we're talking about, so Hashem says, okay,
they're not 100% at tzaddik. You don't have to be 100. As long as you're 90% tzaddik, it's also good. You take a tzaddik for what he's worth. You don't have to be. You don't have the quality of the tzaddik. Doesn't have to be perfect. Even the partial tzaddik is also good. Very good. Beautiful. The tzaddikim, the yachserun. There's something lacking. But just because they're lacking, they're still called a tzaddik. Like the classic. I told you this many times. It's a very true word. It's a very, very powerful word. When life. Many people in the Haredi world, they make two mistakes in life. Talk about in the Haredi world. In the Haredi world, they brainwash children when they're in the crib and when they're in first grade that the Gedolei Yisrael are Malachei Elokim. They don't make any mistakes. They're perfect. They're perfect, perfect people. That's how they brainwash children. That's a reality. Then what happens? What happens is they get older and they realize they made a mistake. They've been fooled. that the Gedolei Yisrael are not perfect. They're far from perfect. They have major, major flaws. So the first mistake is in life is to be naive in believing that the Gedolei Yisrael are tzaddikim. You discover very quickly that they're not tzaddikim. They have major, major problems. Okay? So that's the first mistake you make in life, that you were foolish to believe they were perfect. Then comes the second mistake.
Is there a difference between being a tzaddik and being perfect?
Okay, don't focus on the terminology. Just the basic idea. Okay, right.
Like the Pope being infallible. You know?
Well, the Christians used to think, but I'm sure years ago
today the Pope is considered infallible.
Nah, I don't think so. Yeah. Not today.
That's how they look at it.
They don't have respect for the Pope. You see on the news.
That's their tenet of their religion is that the Pope is infallible. That's
Today, maybe 100 years ago, maybe even 50 years ago, today they have no respect for the Pope. They curse him out right to his face. I don't know. Okay, whatever. But I don't mean whatever. Use the terminology that you prefer. But when
Santa Claus.
When we're young, we're taught by design, have respect for our elders, have respect for your grandparents, have respect for the Gedolei Yisrael. They're perfect. They're perfect. Whatever perfect means. And then you get a little bit older, and then you realize you made a big mistake. What was your mistake? That you were foolish in believing that the Gedolei Yisrael are perfect. They're infallible. You come to that conclusion, I made a very big mistake. It's not true. I was lied to. Mark, what are you doing on this soil? Why isn't Mark Plotnik in the Holy Land? Okay, in any event, you come to realize that you made a mistake. All right, so you make mistakes. Now comes mistake number two. What's mistake number two that most people make? Once I've come to the realization that these Gedolei Yisrael are not infallible and have major problems, know what that means? It means they're just like me. They're just cockroaches. They're just rodents. There's nothing special about them. There's no need to have respect for them, anything special to anyone else. That's mistake number two. Mistake number two is, even though it's true, they are not infallible. They have major issues, but they are still great people. They are still great people. They only got where they are, and they're only respected by the Hamoin Am because they do have qualities that the average person does not have. And that second mistake is a much worse mistake than the first mistake. First mistake, they train children that the Gedolim are infallible. When you realize that's a mistake, you have to be careful not to make the second mistake. Okay, they have a problem. They may have issues, but they're still great people. They are great people. If the world respects them, they're looked up to. They're held in high esteem. It's because they have something to offer. They have a unique relationship with Hashem. And you just can't discount the person just because you found one little imperfection. One imperfection in the person. Those are the two mistakes. Now let's go further. Let's move along over here in our discussion. Back to the Radak. We're in Pasuk Yud Beis. We're in Pasuk Yud Beis. Let's Vayishkelu es Sechari Shloishim Kosef. I'm a Pasuk Yud Beis. Rabbi Michal, can you hear me? It's not so. Maybe come up.
Okay, so far.
I'm bringing the microphone over here back. Vayishkelu es Sechari Shloishim Kosef, and they measured the wages, 30 silver coins, Shloishim Meir. You can hear me, Meir?
Who?
You can hear me?
What?
Can you hear me?
It's an irrelevant question.
Are you listening?
I'm still at the second mistake.
Vayishkelu es zechari shloishim kosef shloishim tzadikim chayu b'chem b'mei ele shloishes haroyim Umatsanu mehem Daniel, Hananya, Mishael, Vazaria, Viyirmiya, Viyecheskel, Tzefania. Notice the list of the Radak is not the list of Rashi. Rashi includes Yirmiya. He doesn't just include Yecheskel. He includes Tzefania. And certainly there were more. There are not there are more. V'im lo nizkiru, it says, and if they're not listed, it's because they were killed. They died. In the Chorban, they died. In the Chorban, by his Rishon, many tzaddikim perished. The Yonis Santir game the Amok finds that's his interpretation. So he says over here that Vayishkilu, that Vayishkilu, that he counted the 30 tzaddikim. He's not really allowed. The Radak is not elaborating very much. It's similar to Rashi and the Mitzudas.
Well, you had the Anchekness and Gola at that time already. So
the also part, right? But I don't know. Okay, he's not giving us an exact detailed list of who the 30 are. The Yonis Santir game. Yonason, now this goes back to, this really is the same idea. The Yonason says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, if you are satisfied with my service, I have protected you all of these years, then you have to pay me. And the payment is in the form of doing teshuva and maisim tovim. Yonason tergim, v'amores lohoin, I said to you, im takin, if it is good, be'enechon in your eyes, avidu, good in your eyes, my service, then avidu re'usi, do my will, do the mitzvahs, that's the payment for my service of protecting you, of shepherd, of being your shepherd. Bim lo, and if not, is minou, and then leave, then desist, chodelu, desist. Va'avadu yasru'usi gavrin miktsas. And then the pasuk continues that some members of Klal Yisrael obeyed and they did Hashem's will. How many? 30. From the entire Klal Yisrael, only 30 people came forward to do Hashem's will. Kiloimar kitsas anoshim shavu b'shuva. The number 30 is a, I don't know what the number 30, why that it's significant. We said before, we have before the word Yerach. Okay, it's not the same thing. We had the previous psukim of the word a month, and it was used there a small amount. The number 30, I don't know what, it's a very mystical number. On Rosh Hashanah, everything on Rosh Hashanah is about the number 30. There are 30 psukim that we recite in the Musaf. We meikar hadin, you only have to blow 30 koilois on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Chodesh, all of the festivals. Yeah.
How about Kiyum?
I'm sorry?
How about here 30 representing Kiyum?
Why is 30 mean Kiyum? What is Kiyum?
Because for an infant to be a
Nefel. Ah, so Rav Chol is saying a very, very powerful idea that the number 30 is a nefel. A human being is not called the Bar Kayama, is not viable unless he lives for 30 days. The number 30 when it comes to days is the amount of time which shows you're here to stay. You're not chayav to put up a mezuzah according to the letter of the law until you live there for 30 days. Me'ikar hadin. The number 30 is suggesting represents endurance. Okay, Rosh Hashanah takes place on the first day of the month, which rep the Chodesh is a 30-month period. Rosh Hashanah was the day when Yosef was released from the bor, from the prison of Potiphar, and became the Mishneh LeMelech. How old was Yosef at Tzaddik on Rosh Hashanah when he was elevated? 30 years old. It says in the Pasuk, Yosef was 30 years old when he stood before Paro to interpret his dreams, which led him becoming the Mishneh LeMelech. There's a lot more. If you go through Rosh Hashanah, everything about Rosh Hashanah revolves around the number 30. When we said before, the number 30, also the Shloishim Shel Eved, wages. A slave, if your axe gores and kills a slave, someone else's Eved Kanani, the Torah says you have to pay the master 30 shkolim. 30 shkolim represents the wages. There's something very unique about the number 30. And here we have the number 30 as well. Avelus is right. Avelus is 30 days. Exactly. In the Torah, the Avelus is only 30 days. That's this that we go into Yud Beis Chodesh. That is a custom. That is a custom, a Kabbalistic principle, because the Neshama has been for 1 year, whatever all that means. But the Avelus is correct, only 30 days. There's something very unique about the number 30. And here, over here, he's telling us that Kadosh Baruch Hu, according to the Targum, that Kadosh Baruch Hu over here is telling Klal Yisrael, listen, I'm your shepherd. I'm providing you service. If you want me to continue, you have to pay. If you don't want, then I'm leaving. Then that's it. Then we have to separate. And what happens in this instance, according to the Targum, only 30 people in the entire Klal Yisrael are willing to reemploy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to take HaKadosh Baruch Hu back, to rehire Hashem for another term of service. Okay, so this is what it says over here in the Mitzvah
Sovet. Does it mean that
one word in the Targum Yonasan?
Wait, one second. Mark,
exclusively these 30 to the exclusion of anyone else, or does it mean
that
or a minimum?
I don't know. All he says over here is Valvadu Yosrusi Gavrin Miktsos. The Targum says,
I don't see that as a definitive statement of,
exactly 30, right? The Targum is translating Shloishim Kosef as an example, a metaphor for a small amount, Miktsos, a small segment. The number 30 is just an example of a small sampling, a small amount of people. It's not precise. According to Rashi and the Mitzudos and the Radak, it would appear that the number 30 is precise. There are exactly 30 tzaddikim in every generation whose merit will survive, or whose merit the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. According to the Targum, the number 30 is not a precise number. It's just a dogma. It's just a number which represents a small sampling of Klal Yisrael, that there are people, Hashem gave Klal Yisrael an ultimatum, and only a few people took up Hashem on his offer. It's almost a repetition of Moshe, who said to Klal Yisrael after the Egel, Ni la Hashem Eli, Vayi Osvu Elav Kol Bnei Levi. How many people joined Moshe Rabbeinu? I don't know what the statistics are.
40, well, 000,
no. Whatever they were, but it's approximately 1/12, right? Sure it's not exact, because now you have to go count all the numbers. But only one tribe in the entire Klal Yisrael, 1 in 12, took up the call of Moshe Rabbeinu, 1 in 12, to help Moshe. Whereas here, it's even less. It just says 30 people were willing to take up Hashem's call and re-employ Hashem by reciprocating and doing Hashem's will.
Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayomer Hashem Elai Hashlicheu El Hayotzer.
I want you to cast this to the Yotzer. Omar Hanavi Hashem Elai Hakel Yitzbach Shiyashlich Zeh HaKesef El Yotzer Peirusha HaMafarshim Kmocha Oitzer. It's a very big chiddush, because the word Yotzer, where do we have the word Yotzer? I think it's in Yeshaya. El Yotzer, the word Yotzer means a potter. Okay, it's a very powerful word. It's, if I'm not mistaken, there's a beautiful perek in Yeshaya, and we draw from that perek.
Well, you're saying Kol Nidre.
Right.
Choymer
Biyad HaYotzer. Hashem is called the creator. Hashem, why do we use the term calling Hashem the Yotzer? The Yotzer, we literally translate as the creator. That's not really necessarily what it means. Hashem is the potter. What is pottery? It is earth and water, and maybe some other ingredients to make into cement. The primary ingredients of pottery is earth and water. How did Hashem create a human being? He collected earth. He collected earth from all over the world. Machloi Rashi tells us to Perushim, either Hashem collected earth from the entire world, or Hashem took the earth from the Mizbeach, and Hashem took Mayim from the Shisin, from the Tahoim, and he needed it. And he fashioned it into a human being, and then he blew into this mold, Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chayim. So Hashem is a potter. Hashem is called a Yoitzer, not just that Hashem is a creator. Hashem is a potter, because Hashem took earth and water, kneaded it, made it into the form of a human being, and he blew a life of breath. And we say in Hazinu, Ein Tzur Kitzureinu. Rabbi Meir, what's the correct pasuk? Ein Tzur Kitzureinu. And Rashi there says, Ein Tzayor, there's no artisan like our artist. We use the word over there, Yoitzer, also in Parash Hazinu, I believe. And there Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who creates a three-dimensional object. Like Hashem was way ahead of his time. Hashem had 3D printers.
I think it means, especially in the case of the potter, someone who takes something unformed and forms it.
Okay.
Right? The raw materials are there, but he forms it.
Hashem is a Rashi in the Hazina that Hashem created a creation of a Vlad, a child within a mother. Okay, that's something which an artist cannot do. Artists they can make two-dimensional images. They can draw pictures. They can what do they call when they make this on the wall? What do they call when they make
a mural?
They can do murals. A mural is a two-dimensional image. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates three-dimensional murals. Ein tzayer, we use the term of a yoitzer in that context as well. But the word yoitzer really means a potter. And there's a whole collection of some beautiful pesukim. I think it's Zevi Yishai. Maybe I'm making a mistake, but I think maybe it's whatever. We'll leave with that. And here it is very interesting, where so far everyone on this page has bent backwards to tell us that's not what it means. It's not what it means. The pasuk from the simple pshat. The word yoitzer here means as if it says ho-yitzer. Make believe there's an aleph. And the oitzer means a storage facility. What is a storage facility? So according to Mitzudo, it's meant a pushka, a CD. Go to Apple Bank and set up a CD. That's called the oitzer. Or go to Chase Bank or whatever bank you want to bank in. And Avenue J, it's all there are. There are only banks. There's no more stores anymore. It's like Borough Park. Just bank after bank and so much money. Just bank after bank, right? So you go to the base Ha'oitzar, go to the ATM and make a deposit. That's what it's, that's how the Mitzudos David learned. Rashi disagreed. Rashi learned what Oitzar means. The base Hamikdash is called the Oitzar, the treasure house. Why is it called the treasure house? I guess because that's where all the spirituality is. That's the real treasure of this world. Is found, the Hashruas HaShechina is found in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Radak is continuing in that theme, where he says, Ve'yema Hashem HaShlechel is a Yetzer, Amar HaNavi, Sh'amar lo Akel Yisparach, Sh'yashlich as a Kesef Ze'el a Yetzer, Perushoi HaMepharshim, Kimo Ho'oitzar, the Oitzar, which is the Beis HaMikdash, Ki Oisios Aleph Hei Vav Yud Hei Mischalfoitz, they can be interchanged. The guardian of the oitzer. Then go even further. After we make the word from yoitzer to the oitzer, we have to also add another word into the pasuk, a whole word, the shoimer, the custodian of the oitzer, the Beis HaMikdash. Give the custodian, the treasurer, the money. Give him this money. And in this case, it means the merit of these 30 tzaddikim who have heeded the calling of Hashem to do teshuva and ma'asim tovim, in their merit, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. So not only do we change the word yoitzer to the ho-oitzer, we have to also add another word into the pasuk, the shoimer of the oitzer. The custodian, he, whoever that may be, a Malach, Hashem, and he will be presented with these neshamos, these tzaddikim, in whose merit the Mikdash will be rebuilt. Let's turn the page.
The kupot of Shkalim had kupot, and there was a shomer there.
A guardian.
You
make deposits and not withdrawals. You know how many people come to the pushka? That's why pushka has a hole in it. Because the hole allows the money to go one way, not the other way. That they invented this. It's the Haftarah in Parsha Shkolim. The Pushko was invented by Yehoyada HaKoyen. It says that they made a box with a hole, a chur. You shall etch a hole into the box in order to allow deposits, but no withdrawals. Don't be an octopus. Mayer taught me that term. An octopus. Octopus has a lot of hands. You like to touch a lot of things. Mayer told me that a boy went out on a date with a girl and the girl complained that the guy is an octopus. Uh-oh. I never heard that before.
I wonder why.
Okay. Now we turn the page. On page 825, the money shall be designated for the Beit HaMikdash. 825 on the top of the Radak. The Yudnivdolim and Om Bahoisim Maharabin Hashem. These tzaddikim who are doing Hashem's will should be separated from all of the other people who are not doing Hashem's will. The Yomar El Hayoitzer Al Derech Moshel Bekinyan Hayoitzer Yachad Libam Amevin El Kol Maaseyem. Okay, we use the word Hayoitzer Vu Yodea Derech Hatoivim V'Haroim V'Choyker Lev V'Boichin Kaloyos. Hashem examines a person's heart and examines and discerns what's in his kidneys. Kidneys are what make decisions. Ki Yesh Marim Atzmam Toivim V'Einam Toivim. There are a lot of fakers. Okay, so now the Radak finally comes along, and he says what appears to be another interpretation. And the reason why we're calling over here the custodian called the Yoitzer, it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who knows how people work. This is very, very fascinating when he's trying to say this thing over here. Now it appears the Radak is coming back, and it's giving us a new interpretation. He's saying that it's a play on the words. The simple translation, HaYoitzer, is make-believe it says, Ho'oitzar with an aleph and add the word shomer. So why didn't it say that then? If that's really what the pasuk means, so let the pasuk say the shomer ho'oitzar. So the answer is because no, it also refers to Hashem. Oh, interesting. So what then is the meaning? Why over here are we referring to Hashem? So here's what he says, very powerful. Because over here Hashem says, I'm calling for some good men. Do you want me to continue to protect you? If you want, you have to be observant. 30 people came forward and said, yes, Hashem, we commit ourselves to you to be observant of all of your mitzvahs. How do you know that these 30 people are sincere? There are many fakers out there. They make believe they're tzaddikim. They dress in the rabbinic garb. But we know, deep down inside, they have their own agenda. And they're just using religion as a tool for their own private benefit. These are not tzaddikim. That is why the term the yoitzer is used. Because if you have a problem, if you buy a new microwave and it doesn't work, who do you go to? You go to the engineer who designed it. If you go to the salesman and tell him it doesn't work, he'll look at you, what do you want from me? I don't know how these things work. All I know, I sell microwaves. If the plane doesn't take off, when you go and you go to your travel agent, I don't know how a plane works. I don't know how the engine works. You go to Boeing. You go to Airbus. The people who design the airplanes, they will figure out what the problem is. The only one that can really, really determine if a person is sincere is the person who made you, the creator. The engineer of the human being, he knows how things work because he's the one who made the human being. He's the one that can make this determination if you are truly from the 30 tzaddikim who you claim you are from. That's what the Radak says. The Pashup Shad is the Yoitzer is the base, is the Oitzar, and it refers here to the Shoimer of the Oitzar, the Akarmel, which is like the treasurer. But the reason why it said the word Yoitzer, it means the creator. Because since the context of this pasuk is, we're trying to select and separate the tzaddikim from the non-tzaddikim, the people that are truly sincere and committed from those that are not sincere and committed, the only one that can make the determination is the one who actually created this product. And that is Hashem. Next. Next words, Vuekha Kikahoy near Loy Bemarahanvua ki hu hoyalokeha kesef mashlihoy base Hashem El Hayoitzer.
Nevuah is very complicated. It's very, very esoteric. And the Radak over here is saying that in the vision, according to the Radak, if you notice carefully, the Radak saying this never really happened. It seems that the Radak disagrees with Rash, with at least the Mitzvah Stavit. The Mitzvah Stavit gives you the flavor, gives you the impression that everything that it says in this pasuk actually happened. Actually, Zechariah actually went and he purchased or he acquired custodianship of animals that were of poor quality and he grazed them. And then he went to the owner and said, are you going to pay me or not? And they paid him 30 coins. And he took the 30 coins and he went to the bank and he made a deposit. And every single move he made was reported on 60 Minutes, on CNN. And there were commentators, all the cynical commentators were darshing, what is he doing? What is he doing? And they were ridiculing him. And then there were some good people. And they had some good things to say. There was Muslim. The world was watching Zechariah. He was an intriguing person. People followed him. They knew there was something about him that was very intriguing. It was every move. So doing this strange, bizarre thing, all of a sudden, Zechariah becomes a shepherd. So the camera crews are watching him the whole day. What is he doing now? What is he doing now? And they're reporting. And as they report, there are commentators. The more things change, the more they stay the same. The same way today, a public figure who people don't like or people find to be controversial, they watch his every move. He walks up the steps. You have to watch the president of the United States to walk up the steps to the airplane. It's like a sport. It's a sport in America. They can't wait for the next time to see the president. It's the most favorite thing you can possibly do. It's much more interesting to watch the president of the United States walk up the flight of steps to the airplane, to Air Force One, than to learn about this domestic policy. Who cares about the domestic policy? I want to watch him walk up that flight of stairs to Air Force One. Is he gonna go with his hands, show that he's youthful, energetic? Is he gonna twitch? Is he gonna miss a step? Wow, that's entertainment in America.
Oh,
it's hilarious. It's hilarious.
It's not news, is not information. It's entertainment.
Well, guess what? According to the Mitzvah stuff, and according to many other commentaries, that's exactly what happened with Zechariah and all of the other Nevi'im. The people were not so foolish, even though they did not like them. They knew these people were the real deal. These people were in contact with God. And every move they made was heavy, was a statement. And they followed them. And when they walked up the steps, they were watching. And they were commenting. And there were editorials by every segment of society. And probably the vast majority ridiculed them. And there were a few good people that watched and got the message. They got the message. They knew exactly what was going on. They understood the mashal. That's the way the Mitzvah Stavit learned. That's probably how many Mepharshim learn. This whole story. Zechariah, all of a sudden, he becomes a shepherd. He's out there in the field with some poor quality animals running around. And he has two sticks. One stick, he shatters this stick. And then he goes to the Balabas and he says, that's it, pay up. Ultimatum. Where's my money? They give him $30. $30, they gave him 30 silver coins. And then he takes the coins and he goes to the bank. Wow, he goes to the bank. Everyone is watching him go to the bank. Which bank did he go to? Which ATM machine did he put the money in? Did he go to the teller? Did he wear a mask when he went to the bank? What's going on over here? That's what's going on over here, according to the Mitzvah Stavit. And it's all a mashal. And the people who want to learn the mashal, they got it. They know what it means. Unfortunately, only 30 people, or according to the Targum, only Miktsas, they understood. Everyone else were a bunch of Leitzanim. A bunch of Leitzanim on radio and television making jokes and sending out WhatsApp making jokes. They couldn't care less. They're just using him as entertainment. They don't take him seriously enough. Or maybe they do subconsciously and they're just trying to reject him, to rip him apart. According to the Radak, this event never happened. It's all a vision. It's all a vision. You know, it's like with the Ramban, the beginning of the Torah, with all some of the Maisim, with the Bris Ben Abesarim,
with a lot of different things in the Torah. Did they actually happen, or did were they only shown to Avraham Avinu in a vision? Okay, this is the more things change, the more they stay the same.
So he writes over here, it's an explosive statement. The Radak on page 825, he makes the statement that everything over here only happened in a vision. And you can be certain that if the Radak is satisfied with making this statement over here, he's probably consistent in understanding many events in Tanakh as not being real, but as being more just a vision. We have with Yechezkel, he was told to go get married and have children. Oh no, Hosea.
Yes.
Hosea to get married, divorce his wife, this and that. Then Yechezkel was told to sleep on his right side, on his left side.
So?
Did this really happen? Or was this a vision? It's a big machlokes. All of these stories are big machlokes. So the Radak here, makes it very clear that this never happened. This event here was only a vision. And the same way this was only a vision, you could assume, you have to go back and check what the Radak says in all of these sections of Tanakh, but you can assume that there's a certain approach to learning Tanakh which is consistent, at least a healthy person, that's the ultimate sign of health. Mental health is defined by consistency.
Okay.
Yeah.
If it did not happen, how then does the message get out to the
Because
public?
He wrote it, because he told it to people, how that he wanted, and Michal says, if it did not happen in the world of reality, so how do we know about it?
Whereas if it did happen,
yeah,
then you have a public
record
display.
A public record that it happened. So we have to assume that if it did not actually happen, he spoke, he was a preacher. Anavi is Niv Sifosayim. He was a preacher, and he told people about this prophecy. Got up in shul. You don't go to shul. I don't know if you go to shul. You go to shul. You go to the shtibloch after davening. I'm here from Eretz Yisrael. I have a terrible matzav. You know, he was a preacher, and he gave. He went from shul to shul, telling everyone what his vision was, and eventually was put in writing. That's how we know about it. It was a vision that he was instructed to reveal to the world, but it did not actually happen according to the Radak. Let's go further. This event already happened a long time ago. What does he mean over here? Let's explains. This event happened during the time of the three shepherds. Now, what do we mean like this? Explains. The Red Soloimar. They separated. There was a separation between the tzaddikim and the rishoyim in Klal Yisrael. There was a split. Yirmiyah, who lived at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishoyim, Hashem said to him, go out into the street, see if you can find one observant Jew. No one here is religious anymore. Everyone gave up on me. He's saying, the Radak is just coming to say that the words, the grammar of the words of this pasuk are not precise. Because literally, vo'ekha means I will take. Or I took. I take it back. I took in the past. But when did he take? And it's a prophecy. It's referring to what happened 70 years ago. Zechariah is living in the beginning of the time of the Bayis Sheni. And he is describing, according to the understanding of the Radak, an event that took place 70 years ago at the tail end of the Churban Bayis Rishon. And he's saying that at that point in time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, I am your shepherd. Do you want me to continue to protect you from all of the enemies that are surrounding you and preserve the Beis HaMikdash and preserve your way of life here in Eretz Yisrael? If you want, then be observant. The vast majority said to Hashem, we're not interested. Have a nice day.
We don't need your service anymore, Hashem. You want severance? Maybe, we'll see. We'll go to a din Torah if you even deserve severance. Gei gesundheit. And only a very, very small number of people, 30 people, will mix us. No, Hashem, we want you, we want you, don't leave us. Though, according to the parish of the Radak, those few people were not enough. They were not enough. They did not reach a threshold where it was kedai for Hashem to renew the contract. So Hashem quit. He quit. He no longer protected us. And then what happened? The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And the 30 tzaddikim who did want to renew Hashem's contract, they were put aside. And indeed, their merit was put away for later. And now, during the rebuilding of the Bayis Sheni and ultimately the Bayis Shlishi, their merit will become activated, will come into play. In essence, the Radak is telling us this entire sequence of events happened long ago, 70 years ago. According to Rashi and the Mitzvot, you don't get that impression. The impression you get is that we're discussing now the future of Klal Yisrael. It's abstract. It's abstract, it's esoteric. What are we referring to? Mashiach? They don't really fill in the gaps. But you do not get the impression, according to Rashi and the Mitzvot, that we're discussing the past. We're discussing the present and the future. The Radak makes it very clear. Number one, this event never really happened. This is all a nevuah, it's a dream. It's not a real event. And number two, he is describing history. We are reflecting as to what happened 70 years ago during the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. Umash Amar Eder Hayikar. What does that word mean, that title? So we discussed this. Hu Beis Hashem, a new term for the Beis HaMikdash. Roitzaloymar, Kemoshamar Va'ashlich Oitzo Beis Hashem, Roitzaloymar, El Eder HaYikar, Ve'el Sha'amar Oime B'mokim Shenayim. The word El is to be repeated twice. Ve'el Eder, Ve'el HaYikar. Upe Rusho, Asher Yokarti Me'alehem. What does this mean? Nichbadati Be'atzmi, Ve'sarti Me'alehem, Leroa Ma'aseyem. Now he's saying now a new interpretation. This is very satisfying, in fact, this interpretation. Yokarti means I honored myself. Sometimes honor. What does it mean honor? Honor means you don't hang out with the low lives. Right? You don't hang out when you go into a restaurant and let's say you have a diplomat who comes into, let's say you go to a hotel. So where does the president stay? He doesn't stay on the first floor with the common man. He goes to the suite. He goes to the top floor, to a private suite. You don't hang out in the dining room. You don't eat.
Penthouse,
right? You don't go eat in the dining room with the common man. Hashem says, until now, it was an honor for me to be with you in your presence. But now that you have lowered yourself to such a level, it's not an honor for me to be with you. In fact, it's a disgrace that I, Hashem, should be associated with such lowlifes. And therefore, Hashem says, that's what it means, Asher Yokarti. This really fits. This really is very satisfying, this translation. Asher Yokarti. Hashem says, Im ein ani li mili. If I'm not going to give myself honor, who will give me honor? Ordinarily, it's not bakavadik to go into a place and say, what's your name? My name is Harav Hagoyim, Rebbe Beryl Shmerel Klinimus Kalman. That's my name. Don't forget it. Don't forget to call me Harav Hagoyim. Like the joke, I love this joke I tell to you many, many times, where a person was called up to the chuppah. Mechubid Harav. There are 5,000 people at the chuppah of this beautiful wedding. And the video cameras and the pictures, and they didn't have drones. Now, if you don't have a drone flying around at your wedding, then you don't have any status. You know, it's like you go to the hotel. If you don't eat in a private dining room when you go to the hotel, you're nobody. You have to eat in a private dining room. You go to a wedding, if there are not drones flying around taking video and pictures, then you're a nobody. It's not pictures anymore. You have to have drones to fly in the sky to get all those moments. But in any event, there are 1,000 people in the audience. Nechobed harav hagoin haadir hamufursum hanoida ba'asha'arim rabban shel kol b'nei Yisrael v'hagoyle. I don't know. You have to go make up all the titles you want, whatever all the titles are.
Sounds
made up. V'chulu 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 hakoyhein hakoyhein Rebbe Kloinimus Kalman Beryl Shmerel so and so. Comes up, and he buttons his jacket, and he walks down the aisle nice and slow. Everyone should see. And he comes up there to make the bracha, and then he whispers very quickly to the one who called him up, and Shuldiks, I'm not a kohen. You call a kohen, you just know for the future, and everyone is able to hear. I'm not a kohen. So the announcer says, and everything else you are. Okay, it's a low blow, a real low blow. So here,
I know rabbis who give out the. I know two rabbis who give out a paper how he wants to be called.
I want to call. Okay,
you know, he hands out slips of paper to make sure you call him the way he wants.
And they read the other side of the page.
I told this once to a big Rosh Hashiva in this neighborhood, a very big Rosh Hashiva. He could not stop laughing. He literally had to sit down because he was so overwhelmed and laughing. I wonder why. All right, in any event, it says over here, I like this parish. I show your charity, I gave myself honor. I see here, I'm here together with Klal Yisrael, who is not observant of my mitzvahs, and it's an insult to my sanctity and to my honor. I have no choice but to show your character. I have to give myself honor by removing myself from you. Nechbadeti ba'atzmi v'sarti v'sarti me'alehem l'ro, because of your evil deeds. V'chein tirgim yonesan v'amar Hashem li k'soy v'duchran oivo dehon. Remember, write down the remembrance. I think Ducha means the zecher, the remembrance of their deeds. Bechelash, I don't know what that word means. Bechelash, kisava. Urimiyose lebeis makdisha, lischois yara karmelo. Deliver it into the hand of the treasurer. Chalaf, dikoras, dechalti beinehoin. In exchange for the honor. I'm not sure what he means. Okay, maybe we'll do that tomorrow. We'll leave that. So we have to go clearly what he means over there. All right, well, that's the target. Okay, anything, we're going to stop over here, take a very short break. Afterwards, I want to discuss with you a very good topic, the topic of bugs. This week's parasha is Parashas Shemini. We learned yesterday about meat, kosher meat, stem cell meat. Today, I want to talk about bugs. Are you obligated to check your produce for insects? And I have here a fantastic article from Rabbi Lichtenstein in the newly published Headlines version 3, book number 3, just hot off the press. Headlines number 3, some really good stuff, and there's a fantastic article all about checking the obligation to check for bugs. Very surprising things he writes there. Okay, we'll talk about in a few moments. We'll resume.